You're a radio.
Miss Wells, congratulations. Miss Wells, congratulations. Now, last night you truly became the most beautiful woman alive, captivating the judges with your charm, personality, poise, and sheer elegance. But now, Miss Wells, despite your obvious success, some killjoys have raised allegations of vote rigging amongst the judges. Have you anything to say on this?
Cobblers.
Here with the very latest news is the News Headline, starring Roy Hudd with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Rowley Quintet.
Thank you very much, folks, and welcome to the show. What a week it's been, eh? Strikes and Dennis Healy. Pay deals and Dennis Healy. Bank rates and Dennis Healy. Decisive government and... what else has been happening this week? Well, old Dennis was going to teach the unions the simple laws of arithmetic this week, wasn't he, eh? But when they refused his package with a 14-to-14 split, he said he was thoroughly disgusted with all 36 of them. But there we are. We had one bit of good news this week. Prince Charles celebrated his 30th birthday. He said he just wanted to be treated as an ordinary chap. So he's been made redundant, put on the dole, and refused a mortgage. And then, of course, there's the Japanese car industry's secret weapon. Eh? Yes, British Leyland. They're in the news again. They've offered their workers a bonus for every car coming off the assembly line. But the unions say they'd like something more realistic. And now some good news, eh? I see the transistor industry is booming. In fact, some firms are so successful, they're having to move into smaller premises. Clever, if you think about it, all right, please yourselves. But there's been some strange things happening on the foreign front, eh? In France, I read, some rail commuters have been laying down on the track as a protest against delays. Yeah, a few people tried that in this country, but they couldn't stand the boredom. And I see that there's been an outbreak of pig smuggling in Ireland. Yes, the Irish customs have been ordered to thoroughly search every pig. Of course, I see the Arabs are still in the news. When aren't they? They buying up every property in sight. I see they've got a new national anthem now. Maybe it's because I'm a landowner that I love London town. And I see that following the big success of that latest Agatha Christie film, Israeli wholesalers are going to produce their own version. Yes, it's entitled Cash on the Nile. Izzy Bond, 1938. There we are. But there's been a lot happening in the sports world this week, isn't it? Tommy Dockett is back in the papers again, eh? Singing dirty ditties before a group of nuns. He's very sorry, though. He didn't know it was their turn. I see Britain's new lottery is going great guns. You buy a ticket, and if you're very lucky, your train comes. And then there's news from the pop world, eh? Elton John was released from hospital. Nothing serious, though. His hair transplant rejected him. And Bianca Jagger has said that as far as she's concerned, Mick Jagger is the only one. Thank God for that. And then there was that unexploded bomb found near Lincoln. Turned out to be British. Yeah. They had to get it repaired before they could blow it up. But this week has been unkind to both Graham Gooch, the England cricketer, and Mrs. Gandhi, who was booed in London, eh? Still, I suppose, what's good for G. Gooch is good for the Gary. Yeah! Thank you! Yes, Ram Gopal, 1923. And finally, I'd like to end with my own personal birthday greetings to Prince Charles. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear His Royal Highness Prince Charles Philip Arthur George, Prince of Wales and Earl of Chester, Duke of Cornwall and Rothesay, Earl of Carrick and Baron of Renfrew, Lord of the Isles and Great Steward of Scotland. Oh, forget it. I'll send him a card.
Now, here is the Hudlines Open Wine.
And can we have the first caller, please?
Hello there.
Oh, hello.
Yes, I'm reading about this American film producer who had his teeth wired together to stop him eating. Well, I think it's a good idea, and that's why I have had it done.
Really? Well, how can you talk with your teeth wired together?
Oh, that's easy. They're still in the glass beside my bed.
Next caller, please.
Hello? David Eddowes, Minister of Health here. I think these laser beams in Oxford Street are very dangerous.
Why?
Well, I've just fallen down the hole where Marks and Spencer's used to be.
Next caller, please.
Hello, dear. Top of the morning to you.
Oh, hello.
Yes, I'm from Switzerland. I've been reading in that survey that women need sex more than men. And they're right, you know. You see, I like sex 3 times a week, and my husband only likes to have sex 2 times a week.
Well, how'd you manage?
Well, I have sex with him Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and he has sex with me Thursday and Friday.
Next caller, please.
Good evening, Sir Harold here.
Oh, no.
Now, look, I want to categorically deny the farrago of scurrilous rumors, lies, and libels that are being bandied around about me.
You mean about oil sanctions?
No, the new lot about the...
What new lot, Sir Harold?
Oh, wrong number. Chinese laundry speaking.
Can we have the last caller, please?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm phoning about the hypnotist who claims that if you think hard enough about big breasts, you will develop them.
You want to complain that it hasn't worked?
No, I want to complain about what it's done to my husband.
Well, how about them sticking the mortgages up again, eh? Don't it make you sick?
It's a nice day with a nice day. Your mortgage is up with the woolage.
Good morning.
Get knotted. Now we invite you to chunder over to Chelsea for another burst from the worst that's yet to come. Yes, here she is, the lady who is to politics what Max Factor is to the Yashmak.
Good evening. Last week, I faced the biggest dilemma of the year. Namely, what to do if my poppy didn't get back from the dry cleaners in time. Already that week, I had been disappointed by Enoch Powell allowing us to be defeated in the Commons. Oh, Enoch, Enoch.
Who's there?
Exactly. Just what I said as I looked round the deserted lobby. But first of all, let me make it quite clear to the Chancellor that the Tories are not against the old folks' £10 Christmas bonus. Indeed, many of the Shadow Cabinet were counting on it. Now, also, incredible as I may seem, this week I met Mrs. Gandy. I had many things to say to her, such as whiskey soda, chota peg, choppy, choppy. And I hope you don't think you'll get your family in this way. Oh, dear, not a dry leg in the house. But seriously, though, this was the first time I had met an old woman of such ruthless determination. since Ted Heath, anyway. Oh, dear. I didn't really want that to get out. I'll just pop it back in again. Now to the Bingham Report. Last week we had compassionate pleas from the only man willing to stand up in the House and defend Harold Wilson, an obscure backbencher called Harold Wilson. I wouldn't say he's used to mistakes, but his pencil has a rubber at both ends. Here was Sir Harold showing his true colors. The minute they're in hot water, they start running. It's the way I tell them. And finally, may I just say this to my friends and also to the Conservative Party. And especially to Mr. Powell. Let me just say this. Sitting on the fence only serves to widen the existing split. Thank you and good night.
Well, there's a strange story come to the fore this week about the daft questions that have to be answered by people applying for jobs with British Rail. Like, would you rather be a bishop or a colonel, eh? I mean, the thought of what happens at interviews is a boggling job, isn't it? Come in!
Excuse me. I'm applying for a job as a cleaner.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and I told me down the corridor to come along to see you.
Yes, I'm the job assessment officer. It's my task to inspect the application form you filled in and decide if you're suitable to work for British Rail.
But it says, would you rather be A, a bishop, or B, a colonel?
And what have you put?
Well, I don't know. I don't see any difference between A and B.
Good. How do you fancy a job on the destination boards, eh? Right. Let's have a look at the rest of your answers first, eh?
Oh, you can stuff them.
Yes, that's the right answer to question number two, which was, what have chickens and cushions got in common? Now, what about question number three here? Summarize Wedgwood Benn's views on nationalization.
Oh, I've never seen anything so stupid in all my life.
Right again, you know. You're doing awfully well here.
Oh, stop it. I'm off. If I stay here, I'm going to end up in the nutshell.
Well, you can't get a job in the boardroom right away, you know. Ah, yes. Station announcers next door, actually.
All right, then. How about take me on as a buffet cart attendant?
Can you travel at 100 miles an hour with a jug of coffee in one hand and a tray of cups in the other?
Yes.
Then you could be an embarrassment to us. Yes. You'd arrive before the train does. Now.
I'm an old. I filled in my application form for the British Rail Board.
Yes. Mr. Gladwin, isn't it? Yes.
Yes.
Question 74 says, would you like to be A, Napoleon, or B, a barrister? And you put...
A barrister.
Yes, that's right, you have.
A barrister, yes.
Well, then you'll be no use to us.
Oh, why?
We want someone to stand around with his hand in his jacket, not somebody who'll take people's cases.
I come for a job on the information desk.
Oh, the clever stuff, eh? All right. Work this one out. If an intercity express left Glasgow at 9:15 and is 23 minutes late at Carlisle, but gained 12 minutes before it reached Crewe, what time would it get to Watford if it was held up for half an hour at Rugby?
Exactly 16:42. Have I got the job?
I don't know. You'll have to come back in and see me again.
Why?
Well, according to you, I've only got 3 minutes to catch my train. If I miss that, I'll be late for my job interview. Goodbye. Well, I see Miss World is on top of us again. Honestly, what a fiasco, eh? And this year we've had the usual dropouts. Well, I blame the costumes, don't you? So just how long before the whole contest degenerates into farce? Good evening. Thasher Wogan,
Yeah, to introduce the lovely contestant, Swarm Swarm Grease Grease Susan. Now, in the 1978 Miss World competition, and will you welcome the first contestant now, the beautiful Miss USA.
And Miss USA is the lovely Miss Peaches Rathatcher. Peaches measures 36, 24, 36, 41. But she says she's putting cream on it. Her hobbies include doing interesting things, seeing interesting places, amateur street walking, and meeting interesting bank accounts. And her ambition is to be interesting.
Bonsoir, Peaches.
Yeah?
Tell me, Peaches, do you agree with those people who say that beauty contests are nothing but cattle muff?
No. I believe that beauty competitions are meaningful and significant celebrations of the human body. And not in this way, just degrading.
Why do you say that?
Because Julia Morley told me.
There's a girl with a sense of humor. Well, now we have the gorgeous Miss Ireland.
Miss Ireland is the ravishing Miss Bridie O'Murphy. Her hobbies are lemming coursing, underwater hang gliding, and she's at present doing an open university course in advanced shoelace tying.
Tell me, Bridie, do you accept the view that beauty queens are unintelligent?
Could you repeat the question?
Do you accept that beauty queens are stupid?
No.
No what?
No, thank you.
Well, thank you, Bridie. Such a charming girl, and what a lovely donkey jacket she's wearing. I shouldn't have left the donkey in, and now... Next contestant is Miss Bexhill.
And Miss Bexhill is Miss Gertrude Villiers.
Ah, Miss Bexhill.
Bonjour, Thunderface.
What do you say to people who suggest you might be too old for beauty contests?
I say, how would you like your teeth smashed in with a walking stick?
Thank you, Miss Bexhill. Yes.
Your raindrops can fall on my head any time.
All right, thank you very much, Miss Bexhill. Thank you. Next, we have Miss Tunisia.
Miss Tunisia, she's withdrawn.
Next, Miss France.
Disqualified.
Miss Paraguay.
Disappeared.
Miss Poland.
Lost.
Miss Israel.
Sold.
Well, you know, there you have the contestants for Miss World. And yet, yes, we have a result here now. In reverse order. Third, Miss USA. Second, Miss Ireland. And first...
I just love to say that all the money and publicity that goes with this title won't change me one little bit.
Really?
No, it'll change me completely. Let's boogie, baby. Come along.
Well, I hear that ex-president Richard Nixon is coming over to this country to speak to the Oxford Union. And apparently the person he wants to meet is none other than Sir Harold Macmillan. Well, no doubt they've been arranging the meeting by post.
Right, Prime Minister, that's the letter finished there. Now, let's just check it through, shall we, please?
From Sir Harold Macmillan.
Yes?
I am 151,178.
What? No, sir.
What?
1 a.m., 15-11-78, the date.
Oh, yes.
Right. Could you start with the letter itself? Dear Richard.
Dear Richard.
That's it.
Thank you for sending me the colourful bow.
No, colourful postcard.
Colourful postcard. Colourful postcard, yes. I understand you are coming to visit. Yuck.
Yeah. No. See, the UK. Oh.
Go on.
I am delighted to hear that you are dying.
Dying to meet me again,
yes. You want to introduce me to your lady, 100% polyester.
No, Prime Minister, you're reading your tie. Look. I'll brush it off.
Hey, thank you.
Nasty eggy all over.
Well, I am now retired, and we have finished our careers. Oh, sod.
Finished our careers, oh, so differently.
Oh, so differently. Oh, so differently. Oh, so different. Yes. The world has changed, and the present government won't even let me have a loo.
Kin, Lucan.
Lucan. I thought Lucan had left the country.
No. Look, not Lord Lucan, look in.
I have always liked America.
Good.
There are many states of which I have been fondled by Flurry.
Look, many states of which I have been fond, led by Florida.
Your presidency was difficult. In the Watergate business, you made a right cock-up.
What? No. Wait a minute, what is that there? Hey? Oh, no, that's right, that bit. I'm sorry.
But you are now making a comeback. And I've told you before, if you don't stop doing that, I'll have you stuffed and mounted.
Look, ignore the dog for a minute, Prime Minister. Get away, will you? Go on, clear off.
Yes, all right.
Not you. No, not you. The dog. I'm talking to the dog.
Oh.
Here. Just get to the end of the letter, will you? Go on.
But do come and see us, and then...
Buzz off, you old flea bag.
Buzz off, you old flea bag.
No, no, come back. Talking to the dog again.
Times change.
Dear.
Times change. But we shall never forget. We shall never forget your sin, Curly.
We shall never forget. Your sin, Steely.
Your sin, Steely. Sir Harold Wilson.
Macmillan! Well, the mortgage rate's gone up again, eh?
Oh, I don't know.
So here is our message and song to the Building Society.
All the Building Society men, we're so pleased up with them. They brought our mortgages down a bit and they put them up again. All the mortgages put up there.
I just moved into a dream house.
Why do you call it a dream house?
Well, I have nightmares wondering how I'm going to pay for it.
Oh, my honey, that's what's up there. And what is what's up there?
just don't understand all this fuss about mortgages. After only 20 years, I could look around my street and say, mine, all mine.
Ah, you own a lot of houses.
No, I own a lot of buildings and ideas.
Here. Here. I've got the happy habit, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm having an affair with a monk.
You know, I was offered a mortgage by the Dublin Temporary Building Society.
What's that?
100% deposit and nothing to pay for 20 years.
Dear, oh dear, dear. Are you with your mummy?
No, I'm with the Wally.
Headlines starring Roy Hudd with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Negroli Quintet. The script was written by Andy Hamilton, Laurie Rowley, John Walker, Jimmy Marvel, and John Langdon. Additional lines by Stephen Jacobs, Gerald Marlowe, John Cormack, Peter Hickey, and Strode Jackson, Bernard Cranwell, Mike Reeves, Hamish Stevens, Willie Wyatt, Philip Campbell, Simon Rose, Stan Wharton, and Brian Smith.
All having had their yashmaks removed by our producer,
John Lloyd.